All right, well, we'll go to John 16, 13. If I can get there. You know, probably should have prayed before service. Kind of reminds me that there was this pastor guy that his daughter noticed that he would always bow his head before he did his message. And his little girl asked him, you know, why do you do that? And her father, you know, he's kind of proud that she was paying so much attention to his message. He says, well, honey, I do that, and I just ask the Lord that he would help me to have a good sermon. And the little girl said, well, how come he doesn't answer your prayers? I hope that's not the way it is tonight, but anyway. 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So who is this Spirit of truth that he's talking about? Well, if we just going to spend a little time here in John, just go back a couple pages in John 14. Start there in 16. As Jesus speaking, he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. So, what I really like about this, you know, we kind of wonder, you know, there's so many people out there in the world that is buying into eating, drinking the Kool-Aid because they don't know what's, you know, going on out there in the world, don't know the truth, but we should know the truth if we have the Spirit of truth in us. And like I really know, it says that we know him because he dwells in you. Once more, what is he talking about here? Just go to verse 26. But the Comforter, you know, he said he's going to send another Comforter, which is the Spirit of truth. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or that's in the King James, also it's referring to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So, you know, the world can't, people in the world don't see or understand anything that's going on. Matter of fact, there in Ephesians 4:18, it talks about that the people in the world that have their understanding darkened, they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. So they're not going to understand and realize what's going on. But if we have the Holy Ghost, if we have been born again, got that Holy Spirit in us, and especially the Holy Spirit upon us, we should have some understanding and should be able to be led by the Spirit. Because, you know, as Christians, it says that there in Romans 8:16, 14 and 16, says that for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the Spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we have the Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit is going to be our guide. It's going to be is going to lead you. And the number one way that God leads you by the Holy Spirit is through that inner witness. Now, if you've heard me up here ministering to the kids at all, at times we've talked about that inward witness. I don't know if you remember, we had the green light and the red light, you know, the traffic light. It's kind of that knowing. I don't really want to say a feeling of what is right or what is wrong, but it is a feeling. It's not a physical feeling, but it's a feeling down in your spirit that you know that, okay, this is the right thing to do or the right way to go, or no, this is, you know, the old stoplight, that I'm not getting that feeling down in my spirit, man, telling me to do this, and I don't need to go that way. But, you know, God's always going to enlighten us by the Holy Spirit in our spirit. In Proverbs 20:27, it talks about that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And so that's usually the number one way that God's going to speak to us by the Holy Spirit to our spirit, is that inward witness. But also, number two, we got that still small voice. You know, your spirit does have a voice, you know, to speak to you. It's just a subtle, kind of a soft, still voice telling you, well, maybe I should go this, or this is not the right way. You know, the Holy Spirit is pretty amazing that he's the original GPS. I'll share this story. Because, you know, when I was young in the Lord and just learning, you know, how to hear from the Holy Spirit, how to be led by the Spirit of God, we were actually on a trip down to Texas. And this is before Deb and I went to Rhema. But we was going to church, and it was a Rhema pastor, and they'd shared lots of things, the videos. We'd be over their house, and we'd see videos of camp meeting and different things down at Rhema, and we thought, man, that's a pretty awesome place, you know. It'd be kind of cool to go there maybe sometime. And so we was going down to Texas. We thought, well, on the way back, maybe we'll see, check this place out, see where it's at. And, of course, you know, you got to remember, this is back when, you know, I don't even know if we had flip phones, cell phones back then. We may have, I'm not sure, but we definitely didn't have a smartphone, didn't have any kind of GPS. We was probably going down there in Texas. We had our paper map, if any of y'all remember those. But so anyway, we decided we want to go by and see where Rhema's at. Had no clue, didn't have no idea where it's at. We knew it was in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and that's it. Didn't have an address. So we're going around the turnpike down there. There's all kinds of turnpikes going around there. And so we're thinking, well, let's go check it out, see if we can find it. And I thought, well, where, you know, we see like Broken Arrow, next six exits. Which exit are we supposed to take? So, you know, I thought, well, you know, we don't know, but the Holy Spirit knows. So let's just pray in the Spirit for a little bit and let him guide us. So pray in the Spirit, go by this exit. And I'm like, no, this isn't it. Come to the next exit, and I'm thinking, no, this isn't it. Come to another one. No, this isn't it. Come to the snows. It's Kenosha exit. Yep, this is it. So we turn off on Kenosha and start up there and going up Kenosha. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, that's pretty awesome, you know. So I was leading this. But, you know, like I said, I'm young in this. And I thought, hey, there's a Quick Trip there. Better stop in and ask them. So stop in, Quick Trip. Hey, do you know where Rhema Bible College is or church? And oh yeah, it's just right down the road. If you look up there, you might see the big faith shield. So we're almost there. but praise the Lord. It just sticks in my mind. It's like, how awesome is that? You know, out of all the places I could have turned, he took me the right place. But of course, you know, I didn't pull completely through, and lead me directly to there. But I learned more since then. But anyway, that still small voice just like, hey, turn here. So then, of course, number three is there's a more authoritative voice that the Spirit will speak to you. It's just more like, you know, sometimes it's just almost like you almost think it's an audible voice. Now, that's not a very often thing. I mean, the only time it ever happened to me probably was that really authoritative was when the Lord called me to ministry and told me to go to Rhema. But that was far and few in between there. And sometimes maybe with the, sometimes like a, you know, pastors even mentioned like slow down, you know, some dangerous situation. But anyway, those are a few ways. And God, you know, he can speak to us through the Spirit, through visions as well. As a matter of fact, you know, the Holy Spirit says, hey, he'll show you things to come. But fact of the matter is, God wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you through this craziness world that we're going through. And I think I want to show you tonight, look at some examples in the early church where the Spirit of God led men to do certain things. So the first one I want to share is in Acts. Or no, let's go to Matthew first. This might as well start off with a whopper here. Matthew 4, 1. Hey, if it's good for Jesus, shouldn't it be good for us? In Matthew 4, 1 says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We all know the story. You know, he's going up the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, but it says the Spirit led him up there. How's that? Well, right before that, in chapter 3, verse 16, and we kind of forget that Jesus came and operated as a man here on this earth. But how did he get this? Jesus, in verse 16 there, 3:16, says, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened upon him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus had the Spirit God upon him at that moment, and that's when he began his ministry. And right away, he was led up by that Spirit to be tempted. You know, Jesus, he mentioned, says, I only say and do what my Father tells me. Well, how did they communicate? Through the Spirit. I think sometimes we forget that. We think, well, that's Jesus. He's God. He can do anything. But no, he operated. He was an example about being showing us how we could be led by the Spirit of God. Another example, we'll go to Philip. Acts 8:29. We're going to spend a little time here in Acts. It's going to show what the early church is being led. People think, well, you're crazy. You say, you tell someone, well, the Lord said this, or, you know, God said this to me. Well, you know, God didn't audibly just come to me and talk with me, but through the Holy Spirit, he can lead you and guide you to whatever endeavor you're doing. I mean, whether it's a big decision that you're going through, or maybe a financial decision that you're going through, but we have the Holy Spirit. He knows the way, and he can speak to us through our spirit. The Spirit of God can speak to our spirit and lead us through this craziness that we're going through. Philip in Acts 8, verse 29. Well, I'm going to start up here. This is verse 26. It says, angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south to the way going down to Jerusalem, to Gaza, which is a desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of the Ethiopia, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all treasures, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran over there to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, understand what you read. Well, it goes on. He didn't understand. So he's there and explains to him what that means. But the fact of the matter is, it's the Spirit that told him to go near and join to this chariot, basically to minister to this person. And what's, excuse me. But this is an example of God getting you where he needs you. He needed someone to minister to this man. So the Spirit of the Lord got Philip to go to minister to this gentleman. And talking about getting you where you need to go, it's pretty interesting, verse 39 there. And when they were come up, he's baptizing this eunuch. It says, and when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You know, you understand what's going on there? He was transformed from one place to the other. That's the Spirit of the Lord getting you from one place to another in a fast way. And, oh man, I tell you what, I didn't get translated, but I did have an experience one time that I sure thought I got translated. I was going down to Missouri back home where I lived, and I was listening to Brother Hagin. I had a CD playing in my pickup and listened to him, I think it was about the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I was going along. This is winter. Going down 65, going through Indianola. I'm listening, like I say, I'm listening to them, just getting ministered to. And anyway, I'm driving along. Pretty soon, I just kind of, it's almost like I know I didn't fall asleep because I was still on the road, but it's almost like I just woke up. And it's like, I'm looking around. It's like, where am I? And I'm looking and I'm thinking, I have no idea where I'm at. I have went on this trip down to back home hundreds of times. And I'm at this place, so I'm looking around and I was like, I have absolutely no idea where I'm at. And I'm looking around, I'm thinking, wow, this is beautiful here. It's if snow was on the ground. So I'm out in the countryside somewhere. Beautiful white snow. I mean, it's just awesome looking. Beautiful area that I'm in, but I have no clue where I'm at. And so I just stopped for a moment because I'm thinking, where am I? I have no idea. And the Lord spoke to me, and actually I actually came across that. I was looking for something actually this morning down in my basement for something for the kids. And I picked up my old Bible that I used when I was down at Rhema. And it's in a binder because it's all in pieces. It's so wore out that all the pages are falling out, and I have it in a binder. It's got to hold it together. And you know, it's the Bible I used while I was down there in Bible college. But inside there, I'd stopped, and the Lord started speaking to me, and I started writing it down. Basically, you know, and the gist of it, he's just telling me, so, you know, stop doing things your way, but follow after me, and I'll take you places you've never been and show you things you've never seen. And that's kind of the basis of the whole thing. But I'm thinking, wow, he literally took me to a place I've never been here, this place where I've never seen before, and I have no idea where I'm at. But I think, you know, I'm not trying to say I was translated, because I'm sure I wasn't. I was just not paying attention. I was so engrossed in that. But I ended up missed my turn, and I just went straight forward. So I thought, well, I don't know where I'm at. I'm just going to keep going forward. It's going to lead me somewhere. And finally found out where I was, and I had to cut back over to get on 65 Highway. But just sometimes I think the Lord would just, when you're not paying attention, you get a little too busy, distracted, and that. And sometimes He just got to get you out into a place and just speak to you and tell you to straighten up. I think that's what He was telling me. I was just getting too busy in life and not spending time with Him as much as I should have been. Another example is a man named Ananias there in Acts 9. Verse 10 there says, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays. And he's seen a vision and a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. Man, how many times the Lord said something to you and said, wait a minute, Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? Are you sure? I think there's probably a better way, or maybe someone else ought to do that. That's what Ananias was going through there. But the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, put his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto me in the way as you came, has sent me, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So, you know, Ananias wasn't too sure about that, but he obeyed as the Spirit of the Lord showed him and went and laid his hands on Saul that he might receive his sight. There was a man named Peter. He also was led in Acts 10. Just going to work our way through here, Acts. Acts 10. Verse 9 says, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Let me stop there. Because, you know, well, how can I hear from the Lord? Well, you know, I remember talking to the kids. They were pretty smart, because I asked them, say, well, you know, how do we listen or hear from the Lord? Well, of course, we can spend time in His Word. But, you know, I remember one say, well, in prayer. Well, absolutely. Spending time in prayer, we can hear from the Lord. And that's what Peter, he went up to pray. And I tell you, that's one thing, being praying in tongues. That's lots of times when I can hear some things, spend some time praying in the Spirit. But anyway, he says, and he became very hungry. He would have eaten, but while they were already, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending upon it. And it had been a great sheet knit, or knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and all the fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord. Here's another one trying to argue with the Lord what to do. I think that's just a human characteristic of us. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. The voice spoke unto him again the second time. What God has cleansed, it called not the common. This was done three times, and the vessels was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on this vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek you. Arise, therefore, and get down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So we see here once again, you know, the Spirit of the Lord speaking. He's taking us, Peter, to go, and basically once again it's going to be ministering to someone. But he's seen this also basically he's in a trance. He's seen a vision, or you might say dreams. But that's one thing about, you know, he said, you know, in the latter days, the young men will dream dreams. Let me tell you something about dreams. And I learned this myself too from very recent experience. Sometimes you can have some of the craziest dreams, and we try to think, well, what does this dream mean? Why did I dream such a crazy thing like this? But recently, I had a dream, and I woke up, and I don't know about you, but I have never dreamed dates, but I had such a strong date in my mind after I had this dream. It was May 9th. It was just here recent. So I'm thinking, well, what is this May 9th all about? And unfortunately, in my dream, and I don't tell you exactly what the dream is, but it wasn't a good dream. It was a bad dream. There was death in this dream. And when I woke up from it, I had this. I actually never even told my wife about what I actually felt in the dream of what the death was, because actually it was her death. I didn't want her worrying. It's like, oh man, May 9th, I may die. That was the first thought in my dream, that my wife was passing away. But then after I woke up and pondered about it, I was like, okay, no, maybe it's not her death. There's something bad, you know, something bad. It just feels like someone in the family, some death is going to happen on May 9th. So I'm anticipating May 9th, and, you know, May 9th comes. And I'm there, boy, believe me, that morning I did a lot of praying when I was going headed to work, you know. Of course, May 9th passed. There's my wife. She's back there, still alive and kicking. No one, as far as I know, my family passed away. The only thing that I know the death happened on May 9th was, you remember the I don't know if you heard in the news about the jailbreak that the guard helped someone. Well, they caught him on May 9th, and she shot herself. That's the only death that I knew about that happened on May 9th, but I'm sure that's not what the dream is about. But then I understood, like, okay, guys, that wouldn't be the Lord speaking to me about death and destruction. That sounds like something the fear coming from the devil would speak to you. That was more of a fear dream. So it definitely isn't something to come from the Lord. So don't get caught up in, if you're having dreams or maybe even you have a vision, it's something bad. And I want to put this across to you too, where you're talking about, you know, we hear the voice of the Lord, but don't seek voices. Whatever you do, don't seek voices, because there's a lot of voices out there that'll oblige you, demonic voices. And you can tell the difference between just like that. Does it line up with the Word of God? It's always the one thing to deal. Whether you see a vision, whether you think you hear that still small voice in you, or that inward witness, does it line up with the Word of God? He's not ever going to go against His Word. And that's why we need to meditate therein day and night on the Word, know what the Word says, know what His promises are, so that when we hear from the Holy Spirit or hear something, that we know it lines up. And something else too. It's okay to get counsel, especially on big things. You know, like when, for instance, like when, like I told you, I had that authoritative voice when I was called to the ministry, and the Lord spoke to me that it's time to go to Rhema. Well, I had the experience that I knew that I needed to go. But of course, that's a big thing. Quit your job at that time of 10 years, doing fine, doing everything's okay. And like I said, that was the first time I ever had such an authoritative and had an experience like that, because it was just like almost, you know, God being there. My emotion, my body couldn't, I mean, I was literally in tears and that, and just couldn't control it. It was like the Spirit of God was there. But I sought counsel still. I thought, okay, is this right? So, of course, I talked to my pastor at the time, and he said, well, yeah, it's, you know, so I already knew that you had a call on your life, and so, yeah, I see you going, go for it, you know. But then I also talked to my previous pastor down in Missouri that I was going to, and so good counsel, you know, counsel is good, and you know, he offered me some things. He thought, you know, he even offered me, well, won't you come down here, and I'll teach you, you know, you can do some things, all it is, and maybe, you know, we could send you down there. And I told him the things I was doing at my church. He said, oh, well, I didn't realize you'd been doing that. I said, yeah, I think you're fine. You know, you should go if that's what you feel like the Lord's telling you. So it's good to get counsel on those major big things, you know. It's okay. Talk to your pastor. I know Pastor Brent would be happy to on those big items like that if you're doing those life-changing things. But, you know, if it's a small thing, should I go out and buy this fridge or not? You know, hey, I think you can handle that one by your own. But so another example in Acts 13. Well, I better get going here. I definitely don't want to keep you any longer here than what Pastor does. Usually when I preach, it's usually a real short and sweet, and you're first in line at wherever you're going to go eat at. Maybe I overstuffed the turkey tonight. I don't know. Nope. Mentioning food, so they're going to get you hungry. So, now, in chapter 13, these are some prophets and teachers that are hearing from the Spirit. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger. And, boy, I tell you what, when I get to heaven, I want to know, how do you pronounce these names? Lucius from Cyrene, and somebody else, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereof I called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So here they're ministering to the Lord, and in worship, I mean, basically in worshiping, and it's telling, the Spirit of the Lord's telling me, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And that's the thing about ministering to the Lord, or just in worship time. That's definitely a good time to hear from the Lord. During praise and worship, I mean, worship times are good to receive from the Lord too. I remember, you know, you've heard me probably tell the story before of the healing of my heel. We just had a worship service at my old church that I used to go to prior to going to Rhema. Just had a praise and worship service. We just praising and worshiping the whole night. And I wasn't even going to go because I had a heel spur. And I'd get cortisone shots every once in a while because I couldn't basically walk on my heel. It's just so painful. And so I'd go get shots. They'd stick a nice little long needle, which was nice sticking in your heel. But it hurt for a short while, but it made my heel feel better for a period of time. And the doctors, you know, my doctor at the time told me, well, how do I get rid of this? He says, well, you know, you could have a surgery on it, but I wouldn't recommend it. He says, basically, you'll just have this forever. It just come and go. Well, that night, praise and worship, we were having that service. I wouldn't go because I was in so much pain. I didn't want to go, but I went. And during praise and worship, you know, it just, you know, said the Spirit of the Lord is here. And just reach up and if you need healing, receive your healing. And that's exactly what I did. And instantly, my heel was healed. The heel of healing. The heel healed. My heel healed. But it was. I got up on stage, you know, and I was just, I was just stomping my heel. And whoops. And went away. Never had it since. That was 20-some years ago. God is good. He's in the healing business too. Which I think the Lord, you know, spoke to me. The Holy Spirit told me I needed to get there. So good thing I listened. Oh, so I tell you what, we'll stop there for, add some more examples. But I tell you what, all these examples of people being led by the Spirit of God had two things in common. One, they was all born again. And secondly, they was all baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And, you know, most of them were being led to get others baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you go through Acts and read that, a lot of them were being doing that. Well, tell you what, let me share one. Paul, for example, Acts 19, and we'll end it there. You know, Paul, throughout the Acts there, is being led to go different places. But it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. He sent to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "To what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. You know, I never really heard or was really led by the Holy Spirit too much until I was baptized, had the Holy Spirit come upon me, with the evidence speaking in tongues. And I'm not saying he can't do it otherwise, but, you know, it says there in Acts 1 about, you know, you receiving power. I think, you know, if you never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I don't know, most people I think here have been, but, you know, if you haven't been, I encourage that. You know, it's quite easy. It just says, just ask. I remember when I did, that's all I did. Your word says, you know, just ask. And I was just in a old, dirty old hog building, sitting on a bucket, waiting for some poo to come down the scraper. And, you know, my wife had it and I didn't have it. And I said, "Lord, I'm just asking. You said in your word, all I got to do is ask." And right there on that bucket in the hog building, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and been speaking in tongues ever since. pretty simple to receive. He hadn't received it. So, and by gosh, if there is somebody here that hasn't received that baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence speaking in tongues, you can definitely see me here, and we'll get it done for you. Amen. Well, I hope you got something out of it tonight. It's not too late. Oh, matter of fact, it's awfully early. It's only 6:05. You know, I was looking at it, I was thinking, gosh, it looked like it's 7 o'clock. I thought it was almost 7 o'clock. I thought, wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, I could have shared some more there that I had, but anyway, that's all right. You don't need a lot to get a lot. You just get the little nuggets. If you got a nugget here or there, and just use whatever nugget you got. But, you know, hey, the Holy Spirit, this is a crazy time we're in. And I think more so than ever, we need to hear from the Spirit of the Lord and making decisions, you know. Because things, you know, unfortunately probably aren't going to get a whole lot better a whole lot sooner. There's some evil people out there that's got an agenda, just like the gas prices. If you look at the congressmen and everybody that where they're investing their money right now, guess where they're investing their money? In fuel, in oil, because they know it's going high and they know it's going to go higher because they are intentionally getting it that away and they want to make money off of it. But thank God, it's not going to last. God is coming in. Things are going to be exposed. Relief is on its way. You know, it's pretty amazing. And I'm so sorry I didn't get the opportunity to talk to this lady, but I thought I just so wanted to ask. I actually stand in line for a haircut this morning out there, and there's a couple of guys in front of me. They're talking golf and going to Florida and all their things they're doing on retirement. But then all of a sudden, there's people behind me was talking about gas, and this lady spoke up. Oh, yeah, it says, you know, says, but she was talking about, yeah, the things are, it's all right, says, but, you know, she was talking about how the gold, going back to the gold thing, and talking about how Trump had brought that in, going by the gold standard, and she was saying, oh, this is an exciting time, everything, it's going to be turned around, we're going to go, you know, and I'm thinking, she was very optimistic about how God, you know, or how things are going to be, you know, are being exposed, and I just so wanted to ask her, but they got us going into the thing at the time, but I thought, hey, do you listen to Flashpoint or by a chance or something, because this gal, I'm sure she does, because the way she started talking about there, but then we're sitting there getting a haircut, I never got a chance to talk to her, but I definitely just tell by the way she was obviously a Christian lady, and Spirit of the Lord had obviously been talking to her. She knew some truth, I think, and so it was kind of refreshing to hear somebody out there. they're out there. We're not the only people. So don't let the enemy fool you thinking you're just the only ones out there, but there's a whole army of us out there, so God's going to turn things around. He's just waking some people up right now, and so anyway, all is good. Well, I think you get to the restaurant of your choice, and before it closes this time tonight. But pastors, they'll be back here next week. So on Wednesday night, of course, we have prayer. So have a good week. God bless you. And I hope you're not like the little girl tonight, to her father, and asked why the God didn't answer her prayers. But